everyone, welcome to the third of the day. We're looking at St. Elmo Apartments. Just a reminder that we are being recorded. So this project is actually coming for the second time at Sketch Plan because there are very specific issues that staff wanted to understand before going to Planning Board, and I just wanted to go through them. Before mentioning that, I wanted to tell everyone that Chowjoy is recusing herself because she's a part of this design team, and so she won't be able to give her opinion on this project. So the three issues that we're looking at, first, it's tower separation. The design guidelines recommend tower separation to be at least 45 to 60 feet, while the applicant proposes 35 feet, which reduces to 28 feet in areas with cantilevers. In circumstances where existing neighboring buildings are too close to the property line, new development should at a minimum achieve site and rear property setback of 22.5 to 30 feet. While the applicant proposes 20 feet setback to the property line, the applicant states the alternative treatment for narrow site permits less. While this will be the widest lot on the block, so really staff is saying it's not a constrained site, and the applicant is saying it's a constrained site. Additionally, the applicant provides no justification that the alternative treatment achieves the intent of the design guidelines. So that's one issue that we want to hone in on. The second issue is the cantilevers into the space of the through-block connection, which further reduces the tower separation. The design guidelines recommend towers to step back rather than cantilever to enhance pedestrian comfort and access to side views. No step-backs are provided along the through-block connection, and no justification is provided that states alternative treatments were used to achieve the intent of the design guidelines. As proposed, the cantilevers and balconies will extend beyond 60% of the facade length in the through-block connection, approximately 110 feet of the proposed 170 foot long facade. And the last issue is the balconies. The balconies are proposed on either side of these cantilevers. The design guidelines state that balconies are allowed to encroach into the setback if they do not significantly add to the perceived bulk and mass of the building's upper floors. The applicant has provided elevations that show minimization of the balconies through material treatment, but due to previously mentioned conformance issues, it is undetermined that this will achieve the intent of the design guidelines, so they'll need your opinion there. So the three issues, again, are balconies, tower separation, and cantilevers, and we want to hone in on those in this discussion so that we can have good direction for the board and staff. All right, so we can begin.
Great. Well, good morning. I'm Steve Robbins with law firm of Archer & Brewer. Thank you for having us here today. We've been, as Laura mentioned, we were here on April 4th of this year to present the project, and at that meeting we believe that the project, as well as our presentation, was well received by the DAP, as reflected in those minutes. And there were a few areas that we were asked to take another look at. The two areas that we were focused on was the promenade space. And also, there was an issue raised about the setback off of Fairmont not being to what the guidelines required of 15 feet, which we ultimately have resolved in pulling the building back to the 15-foot setback line. As far as the promenade is concerned, as you'll see, we after the DAP meeting, we took a good hard look at that, and we met with staff and met with Gwen, with Paul, at the time with Leslie Howerton, who is no longer here, and other staff members to talk about a solution to the promenade, and that's the solution that we all agreed upon that's in the presentation that you'll hear today. So with that, I'd like to just introduce our team, and we can just go around very quickly.
Ed Lincoln.
David Schwartz.
Steve Kirk with Mike.
Mark Elliott with David Schwartz.
Craig Williams with David Schwartz.
Great.
Should okay. All right, so you've now heard three times that you've seen this before. The Bethesda guidelines, everybody put a lot of work into making these guidelines, and they will ultimately make Bethesda a much better place in the future than it is today, but we also recognize that these guidelines are still quite new. They've been in effect a little more than a year, and that there's not a lot of, shall we say, case law as to how they're applied, and that it really is the DAP that in lots of ways is charged with making interpretations here and recommendations to the planning board. And we did have some differences of reading with some of the staff, and we were asked to come back with these two areas that Steve told you about, that being basically the Promenade and Fairmont Avenue. So with that, I'll begin. The first part of this is just to refresh your memories as to what you saw before. The site is in Woodmont Triangle. More specifically, it's a through-block site between St. Elmo Avenue and Fairmont. The new Marriott stuff and the recently completed JBG project here, etc. This is looking towards Bainbridge Bethesda on St. Elmo. This is looking back at the site from across from Bainbridge. On Fairmont, looking from the old Georgetown Road direction and looking back from the Norfolk direction. The site plan here, we've got the addition of the additional 20 feet to the existing promenade that Bainbridge has created. We have our parking ramp off of St. Elmo, basically because of the way grades work, loading dock down on Fairmont, two retail spaces, the lobby for the apartments and a lobby for a second floor of offices. The typical floor of apartment layout here, and then a roof plan showing how on the old Georgetown side here, the building is kind of constantly stepping up and back, pool and amenities at the top level. But again, all throughout this, there are levels that are reduced as the building goes up. The elevations from the two principal facades, the elevation on the promenade as originally filed. We'll come back and look at the proposed changes and on the other side here. And then we also presented massing. Stylistically, this building is not one specific style. It's kind of pays homage to American Deco and to Dutch Expressionist post-war architecture, as well as some more modern treatments. It's a balance of horizontals and verticals. Here's the two views along Fairmont. And we presented the model the last time to you as well, which we have brought. We also had filed two diagrams showing how we believe we are complying with guidelines and the different citing of the different passages and sections in the guidelines. It's probably easiest to see three-dimensionally, and with Fairmont, which is the side, one of the sides we're looking at, we are aligning with the main plane of the townhouse size building here. We set back towards the corner here, making reference to both the promenade and the Bainbridge. We have step backs above a third floor, more or less lining up with the height. We have a projection starting at the third floor that is less than half of the facade, which we believe is allowable under 2.4.4D. And then we'll look at the promenade facade in just a minute. Here is kind of the entry into the promenade from both directions. At the last DAP presentation and a subsequent meeting with staff, there was a lot of discussion about the balconies and projections into the promenade. We met with Gwen and Leslie, who's not here, and Paul and a few other people back in August, I think. And we presented a lot of options as to how to treat this, and this was kind of the consensus pick as to how to move forward with everybody in the room. What we've done here is on our inboard balconies along the promenade and inboard of the two enclosed bays, we've raised the first balcony up one more level. So it used to be down here, it's now raised to here. And then every other story, we're alternating between the original solid parapets and now merely a cantilevering slab and a railing to make this much lighter in the middle part of the promenade. And we believe that this is a improvement to the previous design. We're very happy to be making this change, and we think it addresses the concerns raised by some members of the DAP at the last presentation and by staff. So here you can see in the center part of the building those changes. There was also some question about what happens at the underside of these projections when they start at the third floor. And what you see on the left is not a final design. It is merely to say, when you look at the building on the right, a recently completed project by us on 13th and U in the district, that we will detail this. We will come up with some series of brackets, coffers, whatever, so that you're not just going to be looking at the underside of a concrete slab, that this will be detailed in a manner consistent with the architecture of the building itself, which we will address.
In the Bell's kind of building.
Yeah.
If you look at the 13th
So,
I think we really want to do something that enhances the building, makes the experience
And we just haven't gotten to that part of the design, but we thought we'd at least show you one possible solution to know which direction we'll be heading. Here's the landscape design, the enhanced promenade. This dashed line here is the property line, so you can see we've more than doubled the existing one. We have the plinth sculpture here at the end of it. And Becky's office did these two renderings. On the left is the previous design, and on the right you can see how in this center portion we've increased the height of the promenade before the first balconies in the center part. We believe that the outboard balconies are part of the street facade and are very important to remain at the level they are and have the solid parapets, but in the inboard part, we think it is an improvement here. One of the things we were specifically asked when we met with staff in late August, early September, was to come back to you all with diagrams comparing what we're proposing and the, quote, strict conformance. Even what strict conformance means is up to some interpretation, but what we've done here for the promenade, we could go up, set back only 15 feet, and go up to 70 feet, and then step back to 22 and a half feet off the property line, which is what you see in these two, and instead what we've been proposing all along is to go back 20 feet, the wider promenade, and go straight up with then the two projecting bays or oriels, if you will, with the inboard balconies here, which we think helps articulate that facade as opposed to intrude upon the promenade. So we hope that you understand and appreciate these diagrams. They're what we believe we were asked to do by staff. Fairmont Avenue, there are two issues here. The last time we went with staff because of a erroneous measurement on our drawings, we thought that to align with this townhouse structure, we needed to be 14.8 back rather than the 15-foot minimum of the range, but we discovered that that was a dimension to a water table and not the actual main plane of the building, so we've happily moved our building back to 15 feet. So again, you can see, you know, 15 feet back, going up to 70 feet, and then stepping back 10 feet, and stepping back 10 feet here, or more than 10 feet actually there, complies with the guidelines. We still believe that 2.4.4D allows projections as long as they're less than 50% of the facade. Compare that here with this, where we're going up three stories and setting back, we're 15 feet here, and the articulation we have on that projection. We want to just talk a little bit about the nature of Fairmont as it stands today and what may or may not happen in the future. We have the Fairmont building at the corner of Old Georgetown and its garage, which you see in the foreground, are a mere 10 feet off of the face of curb. You then have, I believe it's 4933, what we keep referring to as the townhouse building, that is set back 15 feet. Here you can see the water table below, but the main plane of the building is 15 feet back. On the Bainbridge, while they are 20 feet back to the curb, not the bump out here, to their main plane or facade here, a mere 12 feet off of the sidewalk, they project back out to 15 feet in a less than comfortable situation. And you will notice here is a concrete wall that sticks up just under 10 feet high and is within 9'4" of the curb. Here you see the other side of that concrete wall. There is a strange rolled curb in the middle of the property here, and there's actually an 8 or 9 inch disconnect between the sidewalk at the Bainbridge's loading dock and the sidewalk on the other side of the concrete wall. And again, you can see that while there's a 20 foot setback here, a mere 12 feet off the sidewalk for half their building, it's projecting back out to their property line. So draw your own conclusions, but the uniform sidewalk will be 15 feet at best and 10 feet in other places. So looking at the ground floor level of this situation, we have the 12 foot height of their projection versus almost double it on our projection, and you can see that our building and the little townhouse building are in alignment with each other. And then you have the Fairmont building garage and building itself sticking out another 5 feet, and again same design looking back in the other direction. At the last staff meeting, there was discussion of why aren't we 20 feet back from the curb which is the high end of the range in the guidelines based on the fact that a portion of the Bainbridge is back 20 feet. So we did the same strict compliance comparison at 20 feet, and we think that this makes for a worse building and a worse pedestrian environment. But again, you can see here kind of the disconnect between the townhouse, and if we pushed that back 20 feet.
Yeah.
I didn't even. How did that point of the horse on the screen?
Yeah, everybody touches it.
Again, you see the disconnect here.
There you go.
So, again, at a street level sidewalk thing, you see one, you know, they're 12 foot high projection, our 23 plus projection. If this is back 20 feet, then you're faced with a 5 foot facade of the townhouse, and then another 5 foot facade of the garage. The other thing we'll point out is pushing this back another 5 feet makes the cantilever of our projection extremely expensive, and we think it also makes it overbearing on the sidewalk, whereas at the 15-foot setback at the base, it's only a 5-foot projection and feels much more comfortable. And that's, again, looking back at the other direction. There is one change that we are proposing to make in deference to some of the issues raised by staff, and that is, if you look here in plan, our 15-foot setback at grade used to come to the end of our projection and then step further back. And in red, we're proposing to actually have that projection start at the fin that's on the projection and not step back as far, but to step back to the same plane, the 20 foot back that the Bainbridge is. And that's really it.
Trying to do is mediate between one side of our site and the other side of the site, and how do we gradually get from the townhouse to the Bainbridge? And I think that the reason that it's important that there are guidelines is because you can't say in an urban environment what's the right way to do this because you have existing conditions. And what we've tried to do is to mediate between the two buildings, and I think the suggestion of the change is a very good way of doing that. To use the guidelines to help us rationalize what is a not overly rational condition.
So that's really what we have to show you, and look forward to your advice, as you're the advisory committee.
Yes, and if we could focus really on those three issues, tower separation, cantilever, and balconies, that's what would be the real direction for staff.
Oh, yeah, we didn't put it on simply because we wanted to make you so you could see the changes.
Buildings are just too close to each other.
again, we are a mere 2.5 feet different from what is allowed in the guidelines in terms of the separation if we were 22.5 feet back from the property line, and we could be 15 feet back from the property line for the first 70 feet of this.
Yeah,
so,
quite frankly, I don't object to how tight the space is at a pedestrian level. I object to how tight the buildings are as you get up into the sky because of the air and light issue.
We're actually doubling the size of that promenade as part of the project.
Again, I don't object to the pedestrian experience of going between the buildings. Quite frankly, tight urban spaces can work really well. I'm looking at it relative to the overall mass of the two buildings.
You're saying, like, if you're a resident on one of those upper floors,
yeah,
how close it is to the other building?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the upper floors, no problem. It's the middle floors.
What is the minimum from the projection to Bainbridge? 20 feet, did I hear?
The Bainbridge is back 10 to 15 feet, the main facade is back 15 feet, and we are back 20 feet except for the two enclosed bays, which are another, 5 feet into that. So
that's 35 feet.
Yes.
But they have projections.
This building has projection.
Mm-hmm.
This building projects in. This building projects in. What is building face to building face right here? This
dimension. What?
That was 21.
Oh, yeah.
28 feet?
Escape.
It's very hard to say. Mm-hmm.
So at the closest point, which
Greg,
would be
Greg. He was talking.
Oh, sorry.
We do believe that this works and that this is a maintenance solution, and we think this is much better than being 15 feet for 70 feet up. I think your sky argument is one that addresses being in the promenade, but I don't think it addresses being in the building across the street or across the walkway, because there's no question in my mind that it's worth for seven stories to be, for that face to be 15 feet than it is for it to be to 22 feet. And we've tried very hard to mediate between how the building works as it goes up, and I think if you average it out, the setbacks out, we're probably just about at what the interpretation of the guidelines would be. If you take the 15, if you take the, what we're not doing for 17 feet, and you use it for the rest of, I don't know if I'm being clear here, but I think the average of our setback is probably within the guidelines. We're not trying to not meet the guidelines. What we're trying to do is an artful fashion that makes good architecture.
I think also, I just want to say, when we did the guidelines, I think we were imagining a attached solid base on a block that would be 5 to 6 stories, and then towers coming up from that base, and that those towers would be separated by these distances. And we didn't address specifically in the guidelines what you do when you have a through block connection.
We did. We actually have a through block connection,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Page, and we said that you step back the upper floors,
yeah,
from
but,
the through
so
block
let's
connection.
Think about the Marriott building,
mm-hmm,
where we had also a through block,
mm-hmm,
connection. And I don't remember the width of
theirs
that.
Theirs was like 50 to 60 feet.
It's 60 feet.
Yeah.
55 to 60 feet.
Yeah.
And they have a step back at that.
And they don't step back the buildings from that. Those are pretty straight buildings, but it is a wider through block connection.
Right.
So
they need
wider
the separation
site
by having such a wide
much wider
through block connection.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all done on one site. But this, again, is a little different than situations that have been before. for this group in the past because of the existence of a pre-existing three-block connection at the Bainbridge and the expansion of that three-block connection. It's a little, you haven't seen this before.
Well, yeah, but I think one of the situations here is you have two buildings with very long faces.
Yeah.
That makes that separation even more critical versus two-point towers.
Right.
I mean, I don't really understand why this building can't be slid by some distance further to the south and reduce the kind of the space, negative space you have on the southern side.
What if you meet the guidelines, like we're questioning, what happens? What's the reason why that can't happen? I feel like I'm missing something here.
See, the guidelines would advocate this. This predates the guidelines. So it goes up and then cantilevers out. This building can go up, step back, and give light and air. That's what the guidelines call for.
Yeah, and so simple as that. I'm asking the applicant is why can't you do that? What's the reason why that's not working?
You have the page, Craig, that explains the guidelines and what we did to the building to show to address that. You can walk through that. Yeah, because the different colors sort of show that.
Well, explain that again. Again, and this was from our previous presentation, which we didn't have, but we're proposing to go up, 20 feet set back from our property line, straight up, mm-hmm. in lieu of 15 for 70 feet and 22. In the previously approved building, and again, it's not something we've talked to you about, we were 20 feet back. It was the same situation. It was just a shorter building. We've actually, towards the streets, carved away areas of the previous floor plan, and the promenade is actually more open than the previous building design. The notion after the guidelines came about applied to the new zoning and our desire to make use of the additional height.
Right.
If we kept a 20-foot promenade addition and then set back only 2.5 feet, it would be architecturally silly and it would create structural issues with a mere 2.5 foot setback. So we presented that issue to you last time and nobody objected to.
No, I did.
No, there was objections to the projections above the third floor, but at least in the notes of that meeting, I do not believe there was any objection to the 20-foot uniform setback.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that's true.
So, and the objections to the projections came very late in that meeting.
I think the question, though, that was just being asked was, if you picked the whole building up and moved it 10 feet, didn't change anything, but moved the whole building.
Okay. I'll try and address that.
5 to 10 feet to the south, mm-hmm. and it would mean you would lose some density on the southern side. You would have to, on the side that is very stepped, you would not have some of the density on that side, like the sections that are, so the question is, if you moved everything 5 or 10 feet out and then lost these sections, which are probably 5 or 10 feet, that just moved everything south.
You probably lose all the FAR that were gained with the height, and you probably go back to the building. And I think to some degree, I don't think we wanted to have this particular conversation, but that question necessitates the conversation of whether you like this building or the other building better. Because I think that the building you're proposing would simply cause us to go back to the books and get about the same amount of FAR.
we firmly believe that this is a better building. And I know I don't want to present the either or conversation. The other thing, I think this is an incredibly difficult conversation. We have this question in Virginia as well, is at what point does the opening on the face, I think there are two issues here. And I would argue strongly that that the size of this gap and the way you handle the entrance into the promenade has a lot to do whether this is an urban or a suburban condition. At the point that this thing gets too wide, this becomes a suburban condition. What you have in the suburbs is a bunch of buildings planted on different pieces of property with space in between. This neck has to be very, very carefully designed to be able to be urban. Now, one could discuss where this plank should be, but I would make a strong argument, as somebody who's done quite a bit of this, that this condition is correctly designed. That this is about as far as you can get and have this feel like an urban condition. So I think there are lots and lots and lots of complex forces driving this building. It's a very narrow site, which makes it much more complicated. And I think the reason that it's important to have guidelines rather than rules, and I think one of the reasons you all were smart about that, is because I think you have to look, in particularly in an urban setting, at every building as it sits on an individual piece of land. This building has a very specific piece of land, and we've tried to solve for numerous problems. And you know, buildings in the end are compromises. It's, you try and solve a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and in the end, you hope you've done well enough in all of them. And I would argue very strongly for this condition. And I do think that I know my developer well, and if you take out the FAR that he's getting by going higher, he'll build a shorter building, which makes this condition much less good.
I think it's much less good. Explain to us, in the approved project, what is the distance between facades?
Yeah,
not
okay.
In this project.
No, I can.
We actually have a
we
diagram
have that.
To show that.
What is the distance?
Yeah, we were hoping not to have that in this particular conversation.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question before you start? At what height along the promenade is our building set back at the top?
It really...
It never does.
Does it go to 225?
Only up to here.
Yeah. Okay. Very top floor set back.
Top floor.
Yeah. The bays... And the bays stop one level before the top and the balcony.
So here's the calculation. The average distance of the 70 feet up to, the 15 feet up to 70, 22 and a half from 70 to 225 is 20 and a quarter inches, if I've done that right. And you have the face facade at how far off the property line?
22.
The property line. About 20, right?
20. Yeah.
So it's within a quarter of an inch of the average, if that matters.
No, and that's what I was trying to say. Thank you for doing the math. I mean, it's we've just done with these a better building.
Yeah. So I think that this is go one. Yeah, this is actually all right, so we did this drawing for a early meeting with staff back in about January. We met in December of last year and then again in late January or whatever. And I think this was at the second meeting because we were asked to compare the old building to the new building. And the stuff that's in red is mass that was in the old building and has been removed from the new building. And the old building still has a valid approval. The stuff in yellow, it's kind of yellow in the floor plan and for some reason is appearing very beige in the 3D, is areas that have been added, and the blue is simply showing the additional five floors at the top. But you can see on the promenade condition, we actually had some columns coming down to the ground, and what is a 5-foot-ish cantilever was a 10-foot projection before, and everything else kind of with it, and here. So
you look at this area of red as it turns the corner here, and the stepping of all those areas of red, the amount of separation from both street sides and allowing light in and views out of those apartments is far superior in the new design than the old design, even with the five additional floors.
And the other thing, to go to Gwen's question, is the elevators need to stay where they are. The reason you just can't put a plan 10 feet is because you totally screw the parking levels, and the elevators end up, and it's a very narrow site, so dealing with the parking is not easy. You can't slide the elevators 10 feet. And what you get on the other side of the elevators, if you do that, then becomes too narrow.
So what was your FAR on the other schemes? Or what is the gross area now, and what was the gross area?
They were probably at 6, maybe?
I think it was higher than that. I mean, we did a FAR averaging on that one.
So you've gone from
so
6 to almost 13?
No, it was higher than
that. It may have been higher than 6.
It was higher than that.
What I can tell
you. I do know that the Bainbridge was about a 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I do know.
I think we were at like maybe an 8 or a 9.
Is.
Like a 9. 8 or 9, somewhere like that.
If we had added 5 typical floors to the old design, if we had just, sliced in the middle and added 5 floors, we would have been adding approximately 80,000 square feet to the old design. This design is adding something in the realm of 50,000 square feet. So we're achieving, because of complying with the guidelines, we are achieving slightly more than 50% of kind of what the old design with 5 floors would have been. And if we drop below that 50,000 additional square feet, we get into a situation that the added construction cost of going up 5 more floors becomes.
Can I ask, what is that area right there over that number of floors?
The problem is you can't do it that way, and I understand it's very attractive. The problem is, because of the fire separations from the property line, that edge of the building has to be that way to get the windows. But you can't simply lop that off and slide the building, because the windows don't work anymore. Part of the reason for all of this articulation is to get the windows to work. You can have this amount of windows at this plane. As you go back, you can have more glass, and as you go back, you can have even more glass. So if you lop this off and slide it forward, you can't have all the glass.
What about sliding the bar, the middle bar, for keeping the two ends in place?
Then you get into the problem with the elevator cores and how you deal with cars. There's very little this we would have thought about.
I want to add one other thing. Our original building was 16 floors. I don't know if you realize this, but every 174-foot building, apartment building that's been built, I believe, is 17 floors. You just spread it like that. This building, likewise, is one less floor, I think, than another developer might have.
Other thing I would mention is that we've actually worked with the Bainbridge on this project, because we have worked with them on the promenade, because we're redoing the promenade. So they've been actually part of this. They were part of the first approval. They're part of this request, and so it's not as if they are objecting to this condition, which actually makes it better. At the last meeting, I believe what we were asked to address was the facade treatment regarding the bulkiness of the balconies and the cantilever projections, and that's why we got together with staff, with Gwen, with Paul, with Leslie at the time, and others, to really hammer out that issue, which addresses what at the last DAP meeting was the concern, which was the treatment of that facade in the promenade. And that's where we came to an agreement on that, based on the...
I feel like we had the same exact discussion at the last meeting, in the resolution towards the end of that meeting was, all right, well, maybe we can't slide this bar, as we've been discussing here, and it was a treatment of the balcony.
That's exactly right.
But staff has now kind of brought to our attention to have this conversation again, and I guess I'm questioning why are we having this.
I think important. I think so. Number one,
we sort of work too.
We needed to come back to you because we didn't have any official recommendation from the DAP on this project, and we need that to move forward with the sketch plan. We discussed this a lot, and it is a thorny problem. And I think staff is just continuing to raise that it's a thorny problem. And we want your opinion on whether that solution that we went back and talked about regarding the, because I will, again, in fairness to the applicant, I will have to say I didn't think the majority of the DAP at the last meeting said, move your building.
No.
I mean, there may have been concerns raised. But did anyone else feel like it was the mandate of the DAP to say move your building?
So there were two issues. It was, like Rod mentioned, folks mentioned that the separation was too small, but then others said, even if you move the building, we don't know if you'd achieve what we want you to achieve. And so there was that, both sides of the issue.
Yeah.
And I think what staff needs is clarification. So when we go to the board, who is now really pushing on design guidelines, they have a clear statement to say to the board. That's why we just want more clarification from you all.
Yeah, I mean, if you look.
So I think the idea, again, that I got from the last meeting was, okay, if we aren't going to say move the building, let's make that facade that faces the promenade as good as we possibly can. And that included looking at the bump outs, looking at the balconies, looking at those kinds of issues. We came up with some thoughts, which is what's reflected in what you see today. And the question is, does the DAP think that is far enough or not far enough in terms of trying to address the concern that has been raised? And, you know, you should feel free to say what you believe.
Yeah,
if you
obviously
think that it's not far enough, because we looked at a bunch of different options. In terms of that facade that faces the promenade, you know, you should speak up on that. I think if your position today is the building just needs to be moved, that wasn't really what was communicated to the applicant in the past.
And
that would be a big change.
I think our presentation reflects what we thought we were instructed to do. So I was surprised when I heard you read what you read, because at the last meeting that we were at.
Well, even at the DRC, that issue wasn't brought up.
Please let me finish. That wasn't our understanding. Craig, could you put up the gray and the red scheme again? Was it the plan that had been the gray and the red on it?
That was brought up at the DRC.
And we've done a number of things as well, because I wanted to show this. That we have slid the, well, actually, this isn't this what I want.
Oh,
but we,
that one. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
We have slid the projections outboard as a result of some of the issues Gwen raised, and we have shortened the balconies. We may not have that drawing, but.
This one?
No, we don't have the drawing, but. One of the things that we also did in response to our conversations with Gwen was we slid these things further out.
Can you
turn it to the...
Sorry, yes.
You need to tell our team. We know.
We slid the bays further out to
we
make this...
To do that, but that
oh, we didn't do it?
That was not what was decided.
But we're happy... There are... I mean, we can slide these further out to... But, you know, and...
Yeah, I think what we... When we met... Things that we ended up feeling were
most you're right.
Important were number one the curved balconies at the outboard sides, because those were very much
related
a part of the architecture. Mm-hmm. And we, I think we had a conversation about whether the bays could get shallower or change in some way. And I think the concern was that you ended up with units that didn't really work.
said a couple of times in this, I think it's important that you guys decide to do these as guidelines. Because in the end, what you have to do is decide whether all your guidelines are to make good architecture and good buildings and a good urban environment. And in the end, what you have to decide is whether this does this or not. Each building, as I said, needs to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. So each of you has to decide whether you think it's okay. And as I said, we would argue very strongly that we think we've done a pretty good job.
Well, as the building itself is okay, but its placement is incorrect. I mean, the building face is just too tight. Let's be perfectly honest about that. The promenade is perfectly fine. It's the right dimension. The protrusions of your balconies and these bays, etc., compromise the distance between your building and your neighbor. I mean, it's as simple as that. If I guess we didn't make that clear in a previous session, and that's unfortunate, but that's really the issue. And if you had just gone up and stepped back, it wouldn't mean that we wouldn't be having this discussion. The building itself is a fine building. It's just too daggone close to your neighbor.
There's lots of architects sitting around this table. There's no solution to that.
Right.
I'm at it as a question.
Obviously there's a solution. You can design a different building, but the point is, we keep asking what the distance between that facade and your neighbor, and we're not getting any
30
answer.
30 feet.
No, it's not 30 feet.
Okay, so our understanding is it's 35 feet from the neighbor when it's not bumped out 20
feet.
No.
Okay. So from here to here is 35 feet.
I want the building face of
right,
these balconies.
And then you take out the balcony,
right.
It's 30 feet.
You take this out, that distance, and you take this distance out, and you go only from here to here.
This is dimension to here. It's 35 to...
Right, and how far out does this come?
5 feet.
5 feet.
5 to 6 feet.
So it's 30 feet, building face. See, in New York, that wouldn't pass code in terms of distance between buildings in terms of fire.
All over, do you say?
Right.
We're 10 feet, 15 feet, 20
absolutely.
Feet.
Absolutely.
With building face with people living.
10-foot alley.
People living.
Window to window.
Window to window.
Every day.
Downtown. That's
well,
all right. But
yeah,
but
I understand.
You're right,
George.
You're right, and I went yesterday and Googled Earth and measured a bunch of distances, and yes, there are residential buildings that are closer than this is being talked about. These guidelines were set up for a purpose, and the purpose was to regulate the density and the form and shape of Bethesda. And ultimately, it will have an impact on Bethesda as to the quality of our environment. Pushing the building out 5 feet, 10 feet will not turn this into a suburban situation.
I disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at the center of the block, but I do disagree with you.
And again, I don't have a problem with the width of the narrow alley. I have a problem with building face to building face above.
Right.
So, let me just ask this. Do you think that should be a specific dimension? So
I'm
if
sure
you
to
were
ask.
To say...
No.
I'm sorry?
That's what I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
What are we idealizing here?
Yeah.
So
if 30 feet is not adequate, what is adequate
in
accordance with the guidelines?
What is the guidelines?
So the guidelines recommend 45 feet to 60 feet total separation between two buildings.
Right.
Each building should be giving half of their portion, but because there was an existing building, the question is, should this building provide more to create a better pedestrian environment?
So 45 feet would be the maximum number.
Well, that's
45
with both
to
buildings.
60. So the range is 45.
Well, let's
45
just say 45.
45.
But there is.
Could that have projections within it?
So that's a decision that you can make. That could be a subjective decision. But you could say the guidelines say that the cantilevers shouldn't project more. The majority of the building should not be cantilevered over public space. So it doesn't feel like it's imposing
right.
and bulky over the.
And it's less than the majority. And the guidelines have something that clearly says 22.5 to 30 feet from the interior lot line. So they're they never go far as to specifically say, if there's an existing building that is less than that, then the applicant has to make up the difference to get to the 45 feet.
So what are you from your lot line again? Remind us.
From our lot line, we are 20 feet, except where we have the projections, which are far less than the majority of that facade. The question I would like to ask is, if we got rid of, and I'm not saying we as designers or developers willing to do this, but I'm just trying to understand something. If we got rid of these two projections, which would have negative impact on the units, if we got rid of all the balconies, or we put balconies that were just slabs and rails, so they're very, very open, and we pushed this back 2.5 feet, so you had a flat facade with projecting modern balconies. Does anybody think, and that would meet, and I'm not even using the stick of the moving the ground floor out to 15 feet, but does anybody think that would be a better building for either the people in the Bainbridge or the fine citizens of Bethesda than what we're proposing? I know the answer to that question, but for my sake, but.
And we'll hold that thought. That's a very important question for the panel, but I just want to clarify on the guidelines. It says under tower separation, where existing neighboring building towers are built too close, built to or close to the property line, new development should aim to achieve the total tower separation where possible. However, at a minimum, the new building tower level should provide the separation distance indicated in the guideline from the side rear property line.
Okay.
So you should aim to achieve the total, and that is what the guidelines
well,
are.
We will have a 174-foot high building.
Yeah, I mean, that's just
that's
impossible.
That's actually closer to the property line if we aimed to that. We did aim, and we determined it was not feasible.
If these two projections were only one projection in the center, then those people in those apartments could at least get the light and air from the two streets. Here we've got buried units as opposed to units that get the benefit of the streets. Have you ever looked at that as a...
You mean you're saying taking out the two balcony strips and making one?
Making one through here, because then you get, you know, views out with, in a sense, more units.
My concern with that is that the projections and the outboard balconies are part of the street facade. And one of the dangers in the tower separation guideline is that you could have a whole bunch of buildings like the Bainbridge that feel like they're sideways on their site because they have a very narrow street facade and are just long things. And if we did what you're proposing, I think it would be to the detriment of making this building feel like it's holds the street.
Correct original point, which I think is a good one, which is if you cut the balcony, if you cut the projections off and you just add a...
Can you speak up over David?
I think it's a good question as to whether if you cut the projections off and you add a flat facade, whether you're making a better piece of architecture. If they go out 0 to 70 feet, 15.
Whether you're making a better urban condition or...
Right, I mean...
Public condition.
I'm more than happy to, if Eddie is willing to, is to look at what happens if you go out to 15 feet for the first 70 feet and then go back to 22.5 feet for the rest of the building. I think it's a bad piece of architecture. I mean, if you force us to do it, we'll do it. I think it's the worst promenade. I think it's the same number of FAR feet. But, you know, you can then look and say, well, I like X, if I like Y.
You have that drawing.
Well, I think the other thing we need to do, honestly, is give clear direction, take a vote. I think we need to move the project forward, because I was, the last time I heard this was coming back to the DAP, I said, oh, it's site plan, right? And
right.
It's like, no, it's still a sketch plan. I think if the DAP really believes that the building is too close, make that comment. Write that in a letter. We'll take it to the board and see what the outcome is.
And also, I don't know if it helps to know exactly what you said the last time. You said in your recommendations, the panel, explore how to further improve the pedestrian experience along the promenade and reduce the bulk and imposing feeling of the cantilever, balconies, and large sheer wall. While some panel members suggested tower step backs and increased tower separation may help, others stated that these small moves may not have a large impact. So if you could clarify that statement and have it for the board, that would be helpful.
And yeah, I think that goes back to, and again, I'm sort of saying out of...
Well, you participated heavily at the last meeting.
Clarity,
so.
Right.
Go for
that,
it.
I think it's important to say that I didn't hear at the last meeting the majority of the DAP members say move the building.
It was both.
What you just read,
mm-hmm.
what that says to me is we're concerned about tower separation, but we think you should go and explore how you can treat that facade that faces the promenade and see if you can solve it that way.
I mean, that's my recollection of the last meeting as well. I think we had the same exact conversation.
We
so
did.
Obviously,
yes,
we're not,
exactly.
This panel isn't fully comfortable with this design. That's
right.
That's clear. I mean, it feels like we're trying to, you know, hammer a square peg in a round hole here. But having said that, I mean, to all fairness and for the development team, I think the guidance that we gave was we kind of relented a bit on redesigning the building and said, let's look at these balcony treatments and see if.
Yeah, that's what happened.
But we blindly accepted some caveats that we should not have, which was if you move the tower, the building, then that screws up where the elevators are and where the parking is, etc. We should have at that time said, we don't care about that. That's not our problem, that's your problem. You got to work that out about how to make the building better. And so that's the ambiguity that crept into this. We blindly accepted, well, we can't do that because of these reasons, we can't do that because of those reasons, and so we were trying to finally tune the balconies and the projections, and that was our fault in that regard. We should have been a lot more explicit and said, well, that's not our problem, this issue that you have a parking problem where the elevator is going to come down, etc. You know, work it out.
I mean, the notes say about the building separation, there was a discussion about, you know, the quality of air and space, and we showed, at that point, we had a diagram about how the Bainbridge is impacted, which units may or may not be impacted, but it said the tight space, even if you pull the building back, losing the balconies probably won't impact the tight space. Rails may work, but may not make that much of an impact, and that's when the discussion really focused on how to deal with the balconies and the massing, and that's what we were directed to do. There was there wasn't a direction at all to move the building back. Believe me, if there was, we would have absolutely remembered that, both from your point of view and our point of view. And we addressed what we thought was the issue at hand, two issues at hand, which was the balconies and the treatment of that facade. And then the issue, the only other issue that came with DRC, this issue about moving buildings or building separation was not brought up at DRC, particularly what you read. What was brought up was the setback along Fairmont Avenue. We at the time had 14'8". Staff asked us to take a look at 15 to 20 feet. And that's when we took another look at that and realized we could do the 15 feet to comply with the guidelines. I don't remember anything about tower separation and building setback.
It was raised, we focused on the Fairmont one at the DRC meeting.
The what?
It was raised.
Yeah. So I think the question is right now, because now, what's the question for the DAP? So it sounds like you asked for them to explore how to further improve the pedestrian experience along the promenade and to reduce the bulk and imposing feeling of the cantilever balconies and large sheer wall. So do you feel like the way that they've answered that question at this point is sufficient? Do you want to add conditions that you think they should meet at site plan? Because they're going to come back at site plan. Do you have any additional ideas that they could do to bring back at site plan? Or do you just want to leave it where you were?
We've never mentioned or reacted to what you and staff and Clive worked out. I think that, you know, raising up one level and
light in the balconies, the alternate heavy and light, actually all worked very positively. So, I mean, I, from my standpoint, I thought those were good moves. That doesn't address the 500-pound gorilla in the room today, but I think just for positive reinforcement, I thought that particular exercise was a good one, from my perspective.
Never had a real problem with the promenade itself in terms of its dimension. We had a problem with.
I must say that the argument of the 70-foot straight up, 5 foot closer is horrible.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact, it has not been addressed, but you've seen quite very clearly that the approved plan has a significantly tighter condition than what we're talking about today. In other words, everything is 5 feet closer to the existing building, and I know that we're talking philosophically about the guidelines and how we're supposed to be improving that, but I think you also can't fail to realize we have an approved project here which can go forward in a different configuration than what we're seeing today that would not be as good of a project under any circumstance, primarily because it's much closer to the Bainbridge. So, whether it's realistic at this point to just my opinion, to change the rules and say you got to move the building back when we did have a pretty thorough discussion on that last time. And I think this also comes to the pragmatic part of the discussion is if this distance between buildings was 2 feet greater or 3 feet greater or 4 feet greater, does that really make a difference in how well that promenade works and the relationship with the buildings? I've done hundreds of these. I don't believe that kind of small movement is meaningful in the urban context. Now, would I prefer to see more distance? In other words, if these two lumps were not there, would it be a better relationship between the building? Probably. I defer to David is whether it's better architecture or not is another question. I think another thing that's very difficult for us to perceive is that these lumps are at either end of the site, and that it does open up in the middle. And even if you look down this model, it doesn't give you the correct viewpoint because you're blocked by the projections at either end. The tight points are only in two locations,
right,
at about 20 feet. Other than that, it's set back the 20 feet. So I'm just trying to cover some stuff I have not heard today. I think pragmatically, in spirit of compromise, the new building, in terms of its setbacks, are far superior to what the old version was.
But they're also getting a lot more area out of the building.
Right.
Not a lot, but some. That's no question.
So the other thing about this that I think it's important to remember is we're at sketch plan. We're into absolutely the weeds, the details.
No question.
And the reason we are is because there was a fully designed project. And we're, in essence, amending a fully designed project. But I do want to say there is another step, which will be site plan. So if the, I think it's important for the DAP to specifically say today, we think the footprint of the building should stay where it is, or not, whatever you think, but that before site plan, we want you to explore eliminating the bump outs or consolidating the bump outs in the middle or doing the balconies even more differently than what's currently proposed. I think that can be looked at between now and site plan. But I think it is, I think what was just said is true. Unless you were really, again, taking the whole building 20 feet, I don't even think moving it 5 feet would make any real difference. I think unless you're taking the whole building and moving it 20 feet and creating a, 50 to 60 foot gap between the two buildings, it's not going to really change some of the concerns you have about light and air. We're dancing around the edges in terms of the bump like that. You know, so I think it, what the DAP really needs to say is, you know, we think the building needs to be 20 feet farther to the south. And if you think that, then you're going to, in all likelihood, get the already approved project.
You will. Well, and I this has probably nothing to do with this group, but I think this is something we really need to look at as far as the guidelines are concerned, because I think it is a, it is not going to be the first and only time we see this problem. This problem is going to happen all over the place in that area of Bethesda, I believe. Fortunately, in this case, I think you control the land south.
Yeah, that's not right.
But if you didn't control the land south, you know, I would imagine that property owner would have a very big problem right now with this project, because they're not going to be able, they wouldn't have been able to get the separation either if they wanted to maximize the FAR.
Well, it's a matter of fact that they don't have the separation on the southern property line that the guidelines call for right now.
Yeah, so I mean,
we got that big piece.
The problem is, we have these narrow, separately owned parcels, which, you know, again, the guidelines, I think, hope and aim for point towers, which assume that you have a more square shaped piece of land that allows you to do a base with a point tower in the middle. But when you have each parcel narrow and owned by a different party, it is really tough.
Well, you know, to the point of the building that we see, I think the alternating balconies from enclosed to open is a bad idea. Frankly, these slabs with pipe railings don't do anything for me. You know, I don't think it's gotten better because of that, to be perfectly honest.
Well, we didn't say pipe railings. We said open railing, and we would design them when we get to
right
kind of designing.
But I think the idea of alternating between, you know, a closed and then an open, you know, what's the point? You know,
what would you suggest?
I would rather have it more.
I
would rather have it more consistent. In other words, whatever you're doing, do it well, which is your, you know, hallmark, you know, for detail. I mean, if we really want to talk about it, I think it's an asymmetrical facade, which I mentioned the last time, and I don't know if that came up. You know, the balance between this side and this side of this very central, you know, organizing principle is not realized on both sides. And the idea of round balconies here and square balconies there, you, at the last meeting, said these round balconies relate to those round balconies way over there, but these square balconies, you know, where are they from? So I think we can nitpick some of the other details of the building itself in terms of the holistic, you know, reading. But I'm still concerned with the light and air issue of the upper floors. And it seems to me that going from a well-proportioned promenade, which you have, up a certain distance and then stepping back makes some sense. You know, you don't have to step back right away, but it just seems to me that, you know, looking at that would be an obvious, you know, answer. And the reason that you don't want to do it is because you want to have that continuity all the way up rather than having a step back. And that's an architectural, you know, decision. I appreciate that, but so I think there are other issues besides just this light and air in the promenade that have to be addressed.
All right, I'll let you all think for a moment. I'm going to have Naomi, if you want to make any comments, and then we'll come back to you.
And this is a comment as a potential resident. Might be downsizing in future years, and I frankly wouldn't rent an apartment on either the south side of the Bainbridge or the north side of this building precisely for the light and air reasons. As far as the promenade is concerned, it's nice to have it, but again, given the light issue, I would be inclined to walk through it in the summer when I want shade and to avoid it entirely in the winter when the shade could just unfortunate to go forward with a design that has provoked so many questions that there don't seem to be answers for. And I also think it's clear that there's some clarification in the requirement that maybe we need to guidelines, as Paul was suggesting. So those are my comments. Thank you.
So if I can summarize, we seem to have variation on these issues. So under the issue of tower separation, I am hearing from Rod and Carl that there is not enough separation in the upper floors. The promenade width, you don't have a problem with, it is the upper floors and their separation. However, George, you feel like what they did with the balconies was a good exercise, and that you don't think that moving back the upper floors in a subtle way would achieve what we're trying to achieve. Damon.
Yeah, I've been kind of all over the place.
Yeah, so on the cantilever, on the tower separation.
I think I'm in agreement with George from the pragmatic standpoint of, this is the second time you guys have been before us. I feel like we didn't give you clear direction in the first meeting, as clear as we probably should have been. So, and you did what we asked. You know, you looked at what we asked you to look at, and I think that helps. I don't particularly love this. I really wish you would. I mean, it's easy for me to say this. I'm not an architect, but there's, like, you know, a lot of really good ones sitting around this table. I don't understand why you guys can't relook at this and come up with a solution that works here. And I understand the issue with the elevators where it hits the garage, but if you're redesigning this whole building, you can look at that as well to make that garage plan work, I would think. But having said all that, as it stands now, you know, you did what we asked from the last time, and I do think that this, from a pragmatic sense, makes a better project than the one that's already approved. So because of that, I would say push forward.
Okay. It sounds like we are split 2-2, but do any folks think that there are, do the two that are, think that there need to be changes on the separation, do you feel that the project is moving in the direction to achieve at least 10 exceptional design points, or do you think they wouldn't even achieve the 10?
Well, again, I think the architecture's okay. I think it's the more urban planning issues associated with this and separation of towers. You know, I hear everything that's been said around the table. You have to realize that when we make these decisions and allow it, we set precedents up for other people to come in and say, well, you allowed this on St. Elmo's.
I agree.
And, you know, the guidelines were set up as the mechanism to really control density, massing of the buildings. And because we no longer have an FAR clause in there. And I think we need to pay a lot closer attention to these submissions and how they meet the guidelines. Otherwise, we're going to find that it's going to be a sad day in Bethesda with all these buildings being built and not the kind of light and air that people are expecting.
Are there other thoughts on those? Whether or not they'll meet the minimum 10?
Well, that's like, there's no way you can answer that question.
Okay, because you feel like there are several changes that need to be made.
I mean, it was answered.
I'm asking these.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the.
Do you both think that they're in the direction to receive the 10?
That they what?
They're moving in the direction to receive at least the minimum 10 exceptional points. Okay. So we have two that feel that they are moving in the right direction, and it sounds like from Rod that we really need to not set a precedent and pay closer attention to the guidelines on this project, but the architecture is okay. And then Carl, you don't feel like you can answer the question.
Right. What was the last one?
Carl doesn't feel he can answer the question at this point. All right, so we would like to take a straw vote. I think it's been pretty clear what folks think, but we're just going to do it to be clear. So the straw vote of those that are in support of the project, 2. And support with conditions, and you can tell me what those conditions are.
Greater space between the
buildings. Greater space in the
however mechanism they want to
achieve. Have it quantified.
Right.
Greater space between the
building. Just to give them a better guideline.
Do you want to go with the guidelines, which say 45 to 60 feet? Or do you have a different total separation?
45 would mean they have to put the building 15 feet, right?
Right.
Right.
That would be good.
There are 35 at most of it and 30 at some of it, so it would be, you can decide.
10 to 15 feet.
Yeah.
Right.
10 to 15
feet. That's the answer.
10 feet.
What about, the guideline that talks about where you have a building on the other side? I mean, you're...
2.5.
Yeah, I'm asking for the recommendation to see what they...
But I think that should be pointed out.
I read it. Yeah, I read it.
She read it.
Yep. So you were saying that you think of a 10 to 15 foot additional separation being your condition?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that there were also additional guidance that needs to happen in terms of, we had two variations on the balconies. You
right.
think the exercise on the balconies you thought that was a successful exercise on the balconies, but Carl, you don't feel like it was successful because it wasn't uniform.
Do we have any
clarification that we can give them on the balcony treatment?
I mean, it seems to me that they were trying to put lipstick on a pig.
No, they're just trying to lighten up the altar and
yeah.
the double height.
I think that's, I don't agree that helps.
Depends on how it's detailed. It's
yeah.
very elegant open balconies.
Right. But I like their other balconies better. Let me just say that, rather than the open balconies.
Okay, so we will raise it as an issue, and if you could explore further, because I know you'll be detailing further for site plan, you know that there are varying views on the
balcony. You do whatever balcony.
No.
Okay.
The interior of the, between the two projections, we had lengthy conversations with Gwen on this. We did what we thought she wanted, and
you guys
want something different?
I think lightening up the balconies is a good idea, or even eliminating the balconies.
I should say the reason we didn't want to eliminate the balconies is because they're MPDUs, and we wanted to give the MPDUs the same amenities we gave standard units.
Right. We just had another case just before this one, and I will say I sort of am where the architect said he was not a big fan of balconies, and I have to admit I'm also not a big fan of balconies. So, another option is literally just eliminating those balconies that are inside. But that can be discussed in site plan.
Okay.
This is getting down to the details.
Okay, I know that it was varied, so I wanted to make sure we clarified. Okay, so we can say balcony treatment to be discussed at site plan, and if you can have that more elaborated, that would be great. I think those are the issues that we were looking at. Staff, do you need anything else other than that?
No.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I know that was a difficult discussion. Thank you all.
Yeah. Save some trees, Chad. Save some trees. Save some trees.
Did it stay on?
I messed mine up.
Yeah.
You messed yours up?
You got it.